right. So before kids are dismissed, I'm not going to forget. I wrote it down to make sure that I remember to dismiss you. But before that, I would like all of us to read our mission statement together as we make a habit of it. And I want the kids, I want y'all to be in here because this reflects y'all. It's important to y'all too. And it's good for us as a church to really invest in that age group. Because again, how we act as the old generation will be how they see believers as Christ should act. So it's very important for you and I to live that kind of a lifestyle. All right, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Kids, y'all can get out of here because I know you don't want to be in here. Listen to me. That's okay. I won't hold it against you. Woo. Have y'all ever had the wrong perspective on something? You know, it's Super Bowl Sunday. I almost said Super Bowl week. It's Super Bowl Sunday. And when Christina and I started dating, I don't know if y'all know this, I really love football. If you don't know me, you'll learn that pretty quick. I really love football. I don't love it as much as I used to. I love the Cowboys, which just means full of disappointment and heartbreak every year. So, you know, every year we go, this is our year, to about week, you know, two. And then we realize we're not going anywhere. But when Super Bowl comes up, when I started dating Christina, I knew I loved football. And guys, if you also love football, you probably feel this way. Guy or girl, doesn't really matter. But when your significant other also does not care, and you realize how much you care, and it's probably too much. And I never understood that I cared too much till Christine and I were dating. I hadn't proposed yet, but we're kind of talking about marriage. And at the time, I was living with Melinda's brother, and we're sitting there, we're watching the Cowboy game, and it was the Green Bay Packer game. So you already know, I heard somebody go, oh, so you know what game I'm talking about. It's the game where Dez caught it or not caught it, depending on who you are. And when the review came back, I was so mad, I threw the remote against the wall, and then I look at Christina, and her face just like changed, and I looked and I went, maybe this is too high of a priority in my life. Maybe I need to take a step back. And ever since then, I took a step back. It's changed where now I can enjoy a Cowboy game. If they lose, I text Ben and go, dang, and Ben goes, ha, and then we kind of move on and we talk about other stuff. Ben's my football buddy that we text each other on Sundays, and it's just really changed because I learned that my perspective was wrong. My perspective was I played for the Dallas Cowboys, and I used the words I and we, and the Cowboys don't know who I am. I'm 5'10", 200 pounds. I would be lucky to be a tackling dummy for the Cowboys, which if they pay me the league minimum, I'll gladly be a tackling dummy. They hit me all they want. But my priority was football was here, and the rest of life was here. Because Christine would tell me, hey, let's go do this. And I say, let's go. And she's walking this way. The TV's over there. And I'm still looking back. And then eventually I just run into a wall because I'm not looking where I'm going. My focus had been shifted somewhere else. And though I said this thing was important, my eyes and my actions and my thoughts, my mind said something else was important. And many times, and you may laugh at me and go, well, that's just because you're a crazy football fan. Let me just say this, and these are real conversations I had, and if you're the person I had this conversation with, I'm not calling you out. But when it comes to things like when the James Bond movie came out, people are like, well, I got to go watch all the other James Bonds to prep for this James Bond. That's a lot of time. When the Spider-Man came out, people are like, well, I got to watch not the other Spider-Mans, I got to watch all the Marvel series to catch up to make sure I know exactly what's happening right now. We put a lot of priorities in things that are temporary and that and within about a matter of 10, 15 minutes, we're going to forget about. And I wanted to bring this up because the Red Letter Challenge has really, I don't know for you, it might have not done this for you because your priorities could be correct. Maybe I'm the wrong one here. But it's really shown the priorities of my life. It's challenged me to really look at why I do the things I do and where do I put my time, my focus, my finances, my leisure time, how I relax. It's really challenged me to put those things in perspective. So we spent if you're new, and this is the first time, the last 6 weeks, what we've done is go through this thing called the Red Letter Challenge, where it's basically we just walk through the words of Jesus And then we did 6 weeks, and the first one was what? Being. The second was forgiving. Third was serving. Fourth, giving. The fifth is going, which is what we're doing this week. So these five things, I said six things earlier, I apologize, but these five things are very, very important, and they're very basic things. Well, I should say they seem basic. They seem easy. They sound easy until you start trying to do them. And then you realize sitting in prayer for more than 5 minutes is a little bit more difficult than it is on paper. Giving up money when you don't really have it, but for somebody else who needs it, is a little bit more difficult. Getting outside when it's 35 degrees and snowing to go serve somebody else is not as much fun as it sounds until you start doing it. And you start seeing the change that goes on in your own life when you start practicing the things that Jesus has called us to do. And even from the beginning, when we first see Jesus walk into ministry with other people, even from that point, there was a call to move and a call to change. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read verses 18 through 22. In this passage, we get to see Jesus call his first disciples. And it's a very big deal. And it's not a big story in the sense of long, but it's fairly quick. And there's not a whole lot of guesswork, which I love. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. It says this, as while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is also called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they are fishermen. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And the boat was Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them immediately, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So the first thing we see with Jesus when he calls his first disciples is a call to move, a call to action. I will admit to you, as someone who's grown up relatively in the church for most of their life, I always thought it was weird when I would read this and then we would pray for salvations, and we'd all close our eyes and bow our heads so no one could see that. Because when Jesus calls his disciples, there was this immediate action to follow that was not to be hidden. There was supposed to be this immediate change. Jesus didn't say, hey, come sit down and listen here for a while. But it was to come and follow. Come and be a part of something. Not just mentally, though that's good. We should be mentally engaged in what's going on. But there's to be movement and action, an ultimate life-changing where you're leaving something behind and moving into something new. That's why when we baptize somebody, we say, buried into old life and risen to walk in new life. It's important we talk about going because that is what the Christian life is defined by. Where are you going? Where are we going as a church? And it's a discipline to have such change. Because we all love, and I do love this, and it's kind of made me nervous, okay? So typically, if you've been around someone who has recently just gotten saved, they are level 10 all the time. They are hyped, they're ready to share the gospel with everybody, and I love that, and I'm like, we should be like that. But within 2 or 3 months, it starts to go down. And I've always wondered why. Is it because we've forgotten that we are also to move and share the gospel and have that same excitement as the first day? In fact, and when I think about it, it should almost be more, right? Because the more time we spend with Jesus, the more excited and deeper understanding we should have. When you understand the gravity of saying, oh, I believe in a creator who loved me enough that in my ultimate rebellion said, that's okay. I will come pay that price that I expect from you. So that you don't have to pay it, that you can be in right relationship with me. When you understand all what that means, it's a huge deal. Because when I mess up and Christina forgives me, that feels like a win, right? If you're married or if you have close friends or family, when someone else is willing to forgive you, that feels awesome. And honestly, a lot of time it's mostly miscommunication or something small that just turned into something big. But in this instance, when Jesus forgives you, it's a big deal to be able to walk in that freedom. So we talk about going. His first command was to come and follow me. And the last command is in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. It's the last thing that he says to his disciples before he goes to heaven. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end. This was Jesus' last commandment. And it's cool that I think we're going through the going part, the last part. Because again, the culmination of all these things is to go. It's one that we begin to follow, which we start with being and forgiving, living like Jesus. And now we get to live like Jesus in another. We have been called to go be part of something greater than we can ever imagine. And the command to go is probably what is most, I don't know for you, for me is one of the most terrifying things about the Christian life, right? Some people say it's forgiving, because forgiving is very difficult. I think about that sermon a lot, Pastor Lee, and just the transparency that you showed. And a lot of us, and we've had many conversations about it, like showing forgiveness to somebody else who has really hurt you is one of the most difficult things. But as over time has changed, for a lot of people, going and sharing the gospel, the thing that we say is the most important things in our lives, has become one of the most fearful things in most Christian lives. Or, in all honesty, just the things we don't think about. Which is odd, because you know what? If you ask me about the Dallas Cowboys, I can tell you who's on the roster. I can tell you that Michael Parsons just won Defensive Player, Rookie of the Year, rightfully so. I can tell you all these different little stats. But I'll tell you, on Wednesday, we went to UTA to go meet college students. It took me a minute. I paused when I saw new people because it scared me. But if they would have asked me a football question, I would not have been afraid. This is me being really honest with you. And I hope you're honest with yourself in this, but sharing the gospel, thinking like this person could change their views. Because if people tell me, oh, I hate the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to go, well, you're dumb. We all hate them. We just are addicted to the star. I don't know why. But when someone goes, well, I think that you're wrong, it makes us fearful. But yet Jesus, who we say is the most important person and the most important thing in our lives, said, I'm with you till the end. I'm with you always. And we should take heart in that. We should be encouraged by that. That, look, let me be really honest with you. It took a long time for me to realize this. Somebody else's salvation is not dependent on me. It doesn't matter how well or how terrible I share the gospel. The command is for me to go and do it. Right? We talked about this last week with giving. If Pastor Liam and I and the other elders, if we're using finances poorly, you're not responsible for that. You're responsible for the giving, the expectation of what Jesus put on you. And if we use it poorly, then God, I promise you, will punish us. And you will all know that. Because the Lord lets what's done in secret be brought out in the public. He says that quite a bit. The responsibility is for us to be obedient. And what happens after that? That's Jesus. You are not in control. I am not in control. We can't force somebody to do those things. But we can be obedient. And the biggest question we get with this is, well, how do we do this? What's the best way to go and share the gospel? How do we be prepared? How do we do this? How do we do that? And it's quite simple. Okay, two things for today when it comes to how do we go and share the gospel, go be the gospel. One is by prayer, which sounds, again, simple. But when we talk about this, Tim and I were talking about this week with a couple other people, prayer is probably your number one spiritual discipline. Because if you don't know how to communicate with God, you're going to miss out on something. And for us as a church right now, this is one of the emphasis that we're trying to put on this year, which is why we have monthly prayer gatherings as a church. which, again, this week, if you miss it, was amazing. We had so many people come out. We got to have a time of prayer, a time of worship. We get to see change already happen there, and we get to have to pray over one another, and we get to do life in that deep way. But we also get to cast each other's burdens in that way. Earlier this year, when we sat down and fasted with one another, it has just been so cool to see the fruit of that week. Because there are some things that we said, hey, we're just going to fast together, or some kind of big why subjects, or some things that were small. And we were able to see the clarity of those moments because of prayer. And in fact, one of my favorite stories that we get to read in the Gospels is when Jesus sends out his disciples, and eventually they come back and they bring a guy who is demon-possessed, and they're going, we've called him out, we've done all this. And Jesus casts out the demons, and then when everybody kind of goes away, gets a little quiet, they go, Jesus, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we cast out this demon? He goes, because this demon can only be cast out in prayer. You forgot to pray, which, again, blows my mind. If I'm going to go talk to demons, I don't know why I wouldn't be talking to Jesus first. Why would I not be talking to God first? That's scary, right? I'd be prepping a lot more than just like, I'm just going to wing this when I get out there. Fun story, if you read in Acts, there actually is a story where someone was like, we can cast out demons too, and then the demons beat them up and leave them bloody and naked. So just watch out, okay? But also, Jesus, there's other times where Jesus goes, hey, come and pray with me. Come and pray with me. He tells his disciples, and when they fall asleep, he goes, what are you doing? Why are you sleeping? Why are you not being alert? Why are you not being focused on the task that is at hand? If you go read the entire Gospels, all four of them, you'll see how often Jesus truly goes, I'm getting away from everybody else to go pray. Okay, if Jesus goes away to pray, if Jesus, not Paul, not Peter, not Pastor Aleem, if Jesus goes away to pray, you and I need to go away to pray. It is an important part of our life. And without prayer, we are nothing. Without prayer, you and I have no hope. If we are not in relationship with Jesus Christ, if we're not in communication, there's a reason why Jesus says you are to pray without ceasing. You are to be in constant relationship with Jesus. And again, love that we come together once a month. If that is your one time of prayer, that's not enough. But honestly, if you're going, I don't know how to pray, come. Grab somebody. Say, teach me how to pray. Walk with me through prayer. Pray with me. That's why we gather as the body. The second being preparation. And preparation is key. And when we talk about preparation, one, you got to know God's word. You have a Bible right here. Lots of people have died that you could have one of these. Throughout history, a lot of people have made a lot of effort that you and I can have a Bible we can read. And in many other nations, they don't have one. But also, if you've never read this whole Bible all the way through, how can you give an answer to know why you love it? And if you're a new Christian, 1-2 years old, been in the faith for a very short time, I encourage you to please read it. But in my mind, and this is just going to be me really honest with you, if you've been a Christian for more than 5 years and you've never read the Bible all the way through, you have a problem. And I'm not a person that says, hey, you should read the Bible every year, because I don't read the Bible in a whole year because I won't remember it. It usually takes me about a year and a half because it's what really works for me. I can know what I'm reading. I can actually sit down, think about it, memorize it. I'm not going to lie to you, I don't read every day. Just being transparent there. But if you go, man, I love God, and I love all that he's done, yet you've never actually read what he has said, I have a hard time believing that. Because the more you read, the deeper your love will grow. The deeper your understanding and your joy will grow. Knowing what God has done in his entirety of not just your life, but throughout history and other people's lives. And even in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason, for the hope that is in you. yet do it with gentleness and respect. Now, I will say in 1 Peter, he is writing to people who are being persecuted for their faith, which you and I currently are probably not. But the idea still remains the same, is you need to be prepared. I need to be prepared. It's okay to ask questions. A lot of people feel like, oh, I can't ask hard questions about the Bible or who God is. Yes, you can. In fact, it's encouraged. Look for God. Truth will always prevail. There's a new trend right now. I don't know if trend is the right word. Maybe that's kind of downplaying it. Of deconstruction. I don't know if you may not have heard this, but a lot of people are deconstructing their faith. And my issue with that is if you're just breaking it down to go nowhere with it, that's not deconstructing. That's just saying I don't want to believe this anymore. Are there times where we need to reconstruct our faith? Absolutely. That's part of growing. Having a deeper understanding of what the Lord expects, what he has done, you're always growing and reconstructing and having a deeper understanding. That is a good thing. And we should be doing that. But you have to be involved where the truth is, not just Googling something on Wikipedia and going, sounds good to me. So seek God's word. But the second one is you need to have a plan. Having a plan is a good thing. And what I mean by this is when we did DNOW a couple weeks ago, our whole emphasis was on sharing the gospel. And UT is really great about this, and Pastor Liam and I are trying to figure out, we're going to have a six-week class on how do we share the gospel? How do we do this? What's the best way? What are some ideas or approaches, or how do we answer these tough questions? And we'll get more information out to you later. But there's some simple things that can actually prepare you. One is the three circles, and I think we have a picture of it. Is there a picture of it back there? No, there's not. Okay, so there's a thing called the three circles. I guess y'all can't see the small little picture up here that's on my piece of paper. So that doesn't kind of defeat the purpose. But basically, you just draw these three circles. And the first circle kind of talks about creation, and then you draw an arrow to the second circle. It talks about the fall of man, what happens, how our depravity of sin. And the third circle is the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that's a very simplification of it. But it's just one of these really easy tools that you can get to explain the gospel. And the reason why I love it so much, and I left my phone up there, is because I can literally just take my phone, open my notes app, and draw it on my phone. And because a lot of times when you just talk, people kind of go, well, okay, whatever, whatever. But when you have something to actually show them, it works through it well. And so being prepared in that way, and there's other things like the Romans Road. That's what I grew up on hearing about when I was at VBS as a child. There's a evangelism cube. There's about, I don't know, there's a million different ways to do so. But being prepared and having a plan of like, hey, this is how I share the gospel, and finding what works for you, because there's lots of good resources in that sense. But with that, practice. That sounds silly. You know, I need practice sharing the gospel. Yes, yes you do. You can ask the college students and the high school students, has it been helpful? When we got to practice it a couple Sundays ago, and we practiced it on Wednesday nights a couple times, it builds up that confidence because it becomes a part of your normal conversation. When it comes to going out, if it's not, hey, it's right there, look at that. Ask and you shall receive, right? That's biblical, right? So this is one of those wonderful things that you can literally just take a phone, a piece of paper, and I wanted to show the video, but the video was like 5 minutes long, and I thought, it's nap time. It's early in the morning. People are thinking about Super Bowl. Video is probably not very helpful. But this is something that you just do on a piece of paper, you do it on a napkin, you do it on your phone. There's lots of different ways, and we'll have a whole 6-week course on how to share your faith. But if we don't practice these things, it will never become the normal. And looking at this from not just from the going aspect, but from prayer, reading scripture, giving, forgiving, being with Jesus in silence, these are practices and disciplines. Do not fall into the Christian culture right now. It's where you become saved, and within 6 months you go church plant, and within a year you're playing another church, and then you're a mega church and you write a book. That's not realistic. And in fact, most of the time when that happens, it always fails. They have about a 5 to 10 year survival rate if they get past the first year. The disciples followed Jesus. They walked with Jesus 3 years before Jesus was like, all right, cool. I'm with you to the end of the age, but I'm going to heaven. Paul sat with people for years before he became a leader within Christian culture. Was he already discipling people? Absolutely. But they practiced these things and they grew into them. And I will say, have good expectations. You don't need to beat yourself up. If you go, man, I feel like I failed that first time. Guess what? You can ask Pastor Liam, yes, anybody that ever teaches, 90% of the time, we feel like we failed. When you share the gospel, you're like, oh, I could have done this better. You could have done this better. What's always funny, most of the time, when you feel really bad about it, a relationship truly grows. Part of the discipline of going is not to worry about what the other person will do, but your faithfulness to God. And lastly, the one thing I really want to share with you is when it goes back to our perspective. There's a lot of things we have to do in life, and there's a lot of things we get to do in life. You get to share the gospel. I don't know if we understand that. We have the freedom to share the gospel freely. You get to be a part of kingdom advancement. You get to be a part. We get to part. I get to be a part of seeing someone's life change eternally. Not for the 5 minutes tonight when the Bengals win the Super Bowl and Ben's going to cry. His life is going to be changed. But real eternal life change. When you're heartbroken, you can still have joy. When you're lost, you can still have hope. Because Jesus provides that. But the call for you and I, as we finish up this Red Letter Challenge, is to go out and share that same hope that we have. You get to, I get to, we as a church, as a body, get to be a part of something greater. And I have to remind myself, and this is the sad part, is that that's exciting. Because it's real easy, like we talk about this quite a bit, like it's real nice to come here where it's most of the time a good temperature. It's a little cold today for my taste, but it's a little cold, but whatever. We have nice chairs, there's coffee. It's just real comfortable. I like y'all. I think y'all like me, maybe. But like this is just real easy. But easy doesn't always mean right. When Jesus invited people to follow him, it was never, hey, if you follow me, it's going to be the best. We're going to have as much food as we want. You have as much money as you want. It's going to be good. He goes, you can follow me. I sleep on a rock. That's my pillow, a rock. You can follow me. The last thing he tells Peter is, hey, if you follow me, you're going to die. There is a real risk, and I say that because I want you to understand that. But the reward outweighs the risk. The reward of true satisfaction in God when you are naked and poor, and yet you can still rejoice. When death is at your door for you yourself or for a family member, you can still rejoice because there's hope in the eternal life that Jesus has offered you. And so as the band comes back up, if you are not a follower of Christ, if you're not a Christian, that offers to you. Jesus Christ died for you. And if you are a Christian, remember that and go live that out. Go tell other people. I promise you, I talk about my dog way too much. You talk about your dog way too much. You talk about your kids, you talk about your sports team. But church, can we go tell people what really matters? Something that really will affect their life for eternity? That will change them? That will bring hope? Church, the end goal for this is for us to be faithful. I'm going to be really honest with you. If Connect Church stays the same size from now to Jesus returns, it is what it is. But if Connect Church got to be a part of sharing the gospel and changing 300, 400, one person's lives, That is success. That will be successful. So let us not waste this opportunity. Let's not go start next week and go, man, that red letter challenge was fun. All right, now what? But put these practices into your normal part of your life. God, as we come before you, we just thank you for your salvation and the hope that you have provided, Father. That there's real opportunity and gifting and time and hope, and that we get to be used by you. That this life isn't just we wake up, go have a job, have some kids, and call it a day and just move on. But Father, that we get to work hard for you. That we get to be part of something that's impactful and real. Lord, I ask for your strength as a church. That we as a body of believers would be faithful to your calling. That we'd be faithful to share the hope that you have given us. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.